The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And for the audience at home, this is the sound of Google executives with their brains on drugs.
Oh, there's
this
that.
This is the sound of a motorcycle burning donuts on the grave of Lowry Mays.
All right.
And now, here's Nicole.
And for those who don't know, I feel like I need to explain this. Lowry Mays was one of the brothers who controlled Clear Channel, the behemoth now known as iHeartMedia, or more accurately, I Hate Media, or I Hurt Media. But I digress. Anyway, welcome to a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 21st of January, 2020. I gotta get that straight. And, well, the impeachment trial of Donald Trump began in the Senate a couple of hours ago. They are debating rules. A few things have changed since yesterday, where we all heard Mitch McConnell was going to limit the opening arguments from both sides to 24 hours over 2 days. Seriously? So they'd each have 12 hours? Unbelievable. Well, he had to backtrack on that already because it wasn't only the Democrats fighting against that. What I've learned so far in listening is that the Republicans will stoop to nothing but lying. They lie. They lie through their teeth. They lie through their mouths. They lie through every pore of their bodies. And it's frustrating. And I'm in a foul mood because of it. So I'll tell you what. Before we get to it today, and Gotta Laugh will join me. They're in a recess right now. They're on a short break, and they'll resume in a few minutes with the trial rules. But this gives us a few minutes to get started. And thankfully, it dropped last night, a new video from the one, the only, Randy Rainbow. So let's get this party started with Randy, shall we?
We are back and joining me.
Uh-oh.
Newly impeached.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Hold on. hold on. Sorry, everybody. I got the new setup going, and I think I screwed things up. I wonder if it'll work if I do it this way. Let me try this one.
With high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yes.
President of the United States, at least at the time this interview was recorded. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. That's really nice.
You've come under scrutiny recently for your seemingly hasty decision to order a strike that killed top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani.
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 Sally O'Malley.
Soleimani.
Soleimani Frye.
They were really amazed that we came in with that kind of a force. We came in with very powerful force, but it was imminent, and then all of a sudden, he was gone.
Well, we are in an election year, and some of your harshest critics, like Adam Schiff, are accusing you of weaponizing foreign policy for the sake of your own campaign.
It's a hoax.
Nevertheless, with all this negative publicity, you're really going to have to sell yourself this time.
I think impeachment's a very ugly word, but I think this cheapened the word impeachment. I think Nancy Pelosi and Schiff, you know, because he's corrupt. I mean, here's a guy stands up at the United States Congress and repeats a conversation, except it was a fraud. He made up a conversation.
Girl, what's this new medication you're on? Chill out. You're about to turn blue. Blustering just like a mafia don. It's radical even for you.
Well,
your rants are erratic, absurd, and inane. And while that's completely on brand, it's time you start selling your brand new campaign. Fine. Let me give you a hand.
It's the Nancy Pelosi clap.
Who's as dim as the Don? Who's as grim as the Don? Who assassinates dudes on a whim in Iran? No, his strategies couldn't be stranger when handling foreign affairs. We might all be in imminent danger, but as long as he gets reelected, who cares? This is just a rough draft. We can punch this up. Who's like the Don? Hates fake news like the Don. When they charge individuals, who's number one? And guess what? Now he's running in 2020. Go out and vote for the Don. His crimes are fine, the laws are jokes. His lies are all true, and the truth is a hoax.
It's a disgrace.
Tracks like the Don, dodges tax like the Don. Who makes up batshit crazy ass facts like the Don?
No, there's no one who's caused as much chaos
or broken the laws that he's breached. At the drop of a hat, he'll betray us.
Sure will.
And that's probably why his fat ass got impeached. Who can cheat like the Don? Who can eat like the Don? Who might start World War III with a tweet like the Don? So if you've lost your mind or you hate your children, vote for the Don. Yes, that Don. In 2016, he relied on his daddy in Russia to help him pull through. But this time he vows it's America first, and that's why he's relying on Ukraine.
No one throws like the Don, stoops to lows like the Don. No one coerces or quid pro quo like the Don.
He's especially lousy at co-creating.
May we present our own fake president? Tell me who could ignore this publicity whore? Sure, he's shady, unfit, impolite, full of shit. Just a gangster, a crook, and a con. Even so, pound for pound, he's the best guy around.
If you don't count his blatant disregard for national security or his textbook narcissistic personality disorder, multiple allegations of sexual harassment, propensity for thinly veiled racist and misogynistic behavior, not to mention the fact that he just got impeached for abuse of power and obstructing Congress. No, this is never going to fit on a t-shirt.
It's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Randy Rainbow, everyone. Whoops, I think I need to turn the sound back on. All right, we figured that one out. Randy Rainbow, I guess it was worth the wait. Of course, a song from the musical Beauty and the Beast, in case you weren't familiar. It was the Gaston song, which is perfectly fitting for Donald Trump. All right, so they're still in a recess. I'll tell you what, while that recess is going on, I think we should go through the news of the day. Because there is news of the day. So, if I can get this figured out, let's take it away, Nicole.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to the impeachment trial of Donald John Trump, beginning January 21st, 2020. 3 years and one day after he took the oath of office. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Monday finally began circulating proposed rules which would give each side 24 hours over just 2 days to present their arguments with no guarantee of witnesses. Senators will then get 16 hours to question the House impeachment managers and Trump's legal team, then 4 hours to debate whether to call witnesses. If a majority then votes for witnesses, the two sides will make motions for the witnesses they want to testify, followed by votes on whether to subpoena them. The rules are similar to those used in former President Bill Clinton's trial, although unlike in that trial, evidence from the House inquiry will not automatically be admitted. Democrats accused McConnell of rushing the trial and hiding evidence. These rules will likely have the Senate in session all night and into the early morning hours as it tries Trump for high crimes and misdemeanors. Here's the tentative schedule for day one. In the early afternoon, Democrats and Republicans have their party lunches in the Capitol. Already at around happened. 1 p.m.,
Mitch McConnell will offer his resolution, which will detail the rules for the Senate's trial. Mm-hmm. Each side then has an hour for debate. At around 3 p.m. Eastern, Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, will move to amend the rules package to allow for witnesses and documents at the front end of the trial. Now, this just happened. I'm breaking into my pre-recorded What's News, because what just happened is Chuck Schumer offered his First Amendment. But before the debate on that amendment, we have a recess. The other thing that happened is Mitch McConnell already had to backtrack on his rules that let me just read to you rather than trying to paraphrase, and it'll be easier this way. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, in the face of strong criticism from Democrats and some Republicans too, is backing off his proposed requirement that House impeachment managers and Trump's lawyers each fit their opening arguments into two-day windows. He amended the resolution by giving each side 3 days to make their opening arguments, which can last for up to 24 hours, the same amount of time used by the prosecution and defense during the Clinton trial. All right, I think that brings us up to where we are. That's also subject to debate for an hour on each side. We don't know exactly how Schumer's going to try to amend the rule package. He can force one vote or multiple votes seeking to amend the package in different ways. The Democrats' priority is to force votes on guaranteeing witnesses and document production as part of the trial. But their efforts to amend the package are almost certain to fail.
Of course.
Once Democrats finish trying to amend the rules, there will be a vote on the package and the trial will then begin. Those Republicans most likely to opt for fairness, well, three of them are looking as if they may do the right thing. Senators Susan Collins of Maine, Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah have been at the center of a media frenzy for weeks. In order to change the rules, though, they'll need a fourth Republican to join them. The best bet? Well, it comes from a group of veteran Republicans who either believe in protecting the Senate or are retiring and thus have less to fear from a vengeful Trump. This group includes Senators Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Rob Portman of Ohio, Roy Blunt of Missouri, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. And if you're planning on watching gavel-to-gavel coverage of the impeachment trial, that might not be so easy this time around. So much for that First Amendment. Capitol Hill press access restrictions, big restrictions, are being put into place, beginning with a magnetometer in the Senate gallery, which means that reporters must wait in line to enter and leave the chamber, something that will undoubtedly cause a noisy disruption to what's supposed to be a solemn trial, and a delay in the public receiving information about what's happening in the chamber. I know you're thinking, at least there's C-SPAN. Not so fast, my freedom-loving friends. The Senate and House control the C-SPAN cameras in the respective chambers. McConnell has made it clear that he'll use that control aggressively. Stay tuned, I guess. Now, lawyers for Lev Parnas, the Soviet-born businessman who was involved in the campaign to pressure Ukraine to investigate political rivals of Trump, asked on Monday that Attorney General William Barr disqualify himself from overseeing his criminal case because he has too many conflicts of interest. Parnas's lawyers wrote to Mr. Barr, "Mr. Parnas, who was charged in October in Manhattan with violating federal campaign finance laws, requested that a special prosecutor instead be appointed to handle his case. It is in the public interest to remove this matter entirely from the Department of Justice." Makes sense to me. The United Nations Human Rights Committee has ruled that refugees fleeing the effects of climate change cannot be sent home by their adoptive countries. This landmark decision gives new legal power to displaced people around the world and squarely positions the climate crisis as a humanitarian issue. News of the ruling comes as global leaders gather in Davos, Switzerland, for the annual World Economic Forum. This year's focus at the forum is climate change, and Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg took the stage Tuesday to admonish world leaders for doing, quote, basically nothing to reduce carbon emissions. Protesters in Puerto Rico are demanding the resignation of their new governor, Wanda Vasquez, after the discovery of a warehouse filled with supplies thought to be from 2017's Hurricane Maria. Officials began distributing the supplies Monday. The island's Department of Justice will be investigating how the supplies ended up languishing for years while citizens on the island struggled. And in celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 8 of the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates marched together in South Carolina on Monday to honor the slain civil rights leader. Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, Tom Steyer, Deval Patrick, and Tulsi Gabbard all linked arms and marched together. If they can do it, so can we. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. Ah, okay, that means it's my cue, and they're still on recess in the Senate, so this is timing out just perfectly. It's almost like we had it planned this way. So it is Tuesday. And you know what Tuesday means, don't you?
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, it means every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and we shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. Obviously today, we know what that means. Hello?
Oh, yes, you've reached the impeachment update hotline.
Cool. Oh, hold on, I got to find my buttons. I have my buttons. I do have them. Go ahead. I'm here.
Press one if you think when Trump's staff suggested he check out the articles of impeachment, he said, "I don't read magazines."
Yeah, there's that.
He's stupid. Press two if you think Ivanka said, "Daddy, Daddy, Lev Parnas knows everything. He even knows where you plug Mike Pence in at night."
Ooh. That's kind of scary.
Press three if you think Nunes, Lev, and Trump are also known as Nunas, Parnas, and Dumbass.
I think that's my favorite one so far. Yes.
Have a nice day. Okay, they have the worst legal team I have ever seen.
Horrible. They're just horrible. It's infuriating listening to them because it's my old thing that I used to have a problem with during the Bush years. It's when this opposite world stuff began, where people would say things that were just completely untrue. And when you hit them with the facts, they say, "Well, I don't believe you." You can't argue with someone who won't acknowledge reality. And that's what we're up against right now. They won't acknowledge reality.
They have the cluster fox defense, basically. They yell, they lie, they smear, they propagandize, they gaslight, and their audience eats it up, and that's all they care about. They want to stay in power. They want to get votes.
That's all
and
it's
the only
about.
Way they can get right. The only way they can get votes is to appeal to their base. So this has nothing to do with a trial per se. It has to do with keeping power.
Oh, right. They don't even care what this man has done. I mean, just listening, and I've been in and out all morning from the opening, you know, salvos here, and their arguments are pure bullshit. It's not about the substance. They're impeaching him on the basis of a phone call. He actually released the transcript. Well, number one, it wasn't a transcript, and number two, so what? The fact that he does that all the time. He says, "Yeah, I did it. What are you going to do about it?" That doesn't clear him of anything. What he did was still wrong, and they won't address the underlying action that was an impeachable act, where he's trying to get a foreign world leader to interfere in our American political process by announcing an investigation into a man that Trump perceives as one of his main opponents in the 2020 presidential race. I don't know why that's so difficult for anyone to grasp.
They're not interested in facts. They're interested only in retaining power. That's it. Facts are meaningless to them.
That's it.
It's their own reality. Just as Bush, you know, said, "We're going to make our own reality," or you know, totally paraphrasing that. But they're doing it only on steroids.
Yeah.
I just want to read you one thing real fast, a little off topic here.
Okay.
This is from David S. Oh, I think it's Joaquim, or I don't know how to say his name, and I apologize, from Bloomberg.
Okay.
Inbox, and he did this in all caps. Attorney General William P. Barr to announce the establishment of the Presidential Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what everyone said. What?
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Unless Bill Barr is announcing he's recusing himself and appointing a special prosecutor to look into the allegations raised by Lev Parnas last week,
I don't want to hear anything from him. I said, unless he's doing that, I don't want to hear anything from him. And obviously he's not doing that.
Well, the responses are things like it's they're leading to an authoritarian government. This informs us they're making a soft coup play, rigging and corrupting law enforcement, keeping brown and black people in prisons. You know, so people don't buy into it. No, I don't think it's as I wish it was what you said. I wish.
Yeah. No, of course, that's what it should be in a not even a perfect world, in a fair world, not even fair, in a somewhat amenable to the rules of law, where I don't know. It's just that we're so out of sync with anything that's normal or real. And it's why a lot of people, I think, are feeling really depressed today.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, they're back on.
The Senate is resuming. Let's bring up.
Schiff.
Oh, okay. Adam Schiff is back. Hold on. Let's bring up the picture and the sound. I believe we can do that by doing this. No, I screwed up something. I still have it muted. Bear with me one second. I've got the new computer going today.
While you do that, I'll read you a quick one by Polly Side at DC Poll. McConnell likely made the previous draft of his resolution so ridiculous so that these last minute changes would make him seem reasonable. But as we know, Midnight Mitch is anything but. And also, just so you know, I heard this on MSNBC. The White House was not surprised about these changes because they were informed, which just goes to show you how closely they're working with McConnell.
Well, of course. And we know that because they told us that Mitch McConnell, one thing he was honest about, that he was coordinating every step with the White House. All right, here's Adam Schiff. Let's see what he's saying now.
In court, saying the exact opposite of what they're telling you today. They're saying you cannot enforce congressional subpoenas. That's non-judiciable.
Judiciable?
You can't do it.
Okay.
Counsel brings up the case involving Charles Kupperman, who was a deputy to John Bolton on the National Security Council, and says he did what he should do. He went to court to fight us. Well, the Justice Department took the position he can't do that. So these lawyers are saying he should, and those lawyers are saying he shouldn't. They can't have it both ways. Now, interestingly, while Dr. Kupperman went to court, and they applaud him for doing that, his boss, John Bolton, now says there's no necessity for him to go to court.
Yep.
He doesn't have to do it.
So testify.
He's willing to come and talk to you.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to come and testify and tell you what he knows. The question is, do you want to hear it?
No, they do not.
Do you want to hear it?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear from someone who was in the meetings, someone who described what the president did?
Yeah, please.
Yep.
This deal between Mulvaney and Sondland as a drug deal. Do you want to know why it was a drug deal?
I want to know.
Do you want to ask him why it was a drug deal?
We do. Yeah.
Do you want to ask him why he repeatedly told people, go talk to the lawyers?
Yeah.
You should want to know.
We do.
They don't want you to know.
We don't want to wait for the book.
They don't want you to know. The president doesn't want you to know. Can you really live up to the oath you've taken to be impartial and not know? I don't think
Schiff is really good, by the way.
He is very good.
Now, they also made the argument that you'll hear more later on.
You know, he's not that, he's not very much of a progressive, but in an instance like this, he shines.
It's interesting that they had to go outside the realm of constitutional lawyers and scholars to a criminal defense lawyer to make that argument because no reputable constitutional law expert would do that. Indeed, the one they called in the House, the Republicans called in the House, Jonathan Turley, has said exactly the opposite. There's a reason that Jonathan Turley is not sitting at the table, much to his dismay. Yeah. And that is because he doesn't support their argument. So they'll say one thing, but they'll ignore him for the other. Now, they say, oh, the president is very transparent. He may have refused every subpoena, every document request, but he released two documents.
He's so transparent. He released the phone call.
The July 25th call and the document on the April 21st call. Well, let's face it. He was forced to release the record of the July 25th call.
Yes, he was.
When he got caught.
That's right.
When a whistleblower filed a complaint.
Touché.
When we opened an investigation, he was forced because he got caught.
Yep.
Whoops. You don't get credit for transparency when you get caught. And what's more, what's revealed in that, of course, is damning. Now they point to the only other record he has apparently released, the April 21st call, and that's interesting too. Now that's just a congratulatory call.
Mm-hmm. No one asked for it, by the way.
What's interesting about it is the president was urged on that call to bring up the issue of corruption.
And he never did.
And indeed, in the readout of that call, the White House misleadingly said he did.
Yeah.
But now that we see that he didn't.
And
notwithstanding counsel's claim in their trial brief that the president raised the issue of corruption in his phone call, the July 25th call, of course, that word doesn't appear in either conversation.
Nope.
And why? Because the only corruption he cared about was the corruption that he could help bring about. Now, Mr. Cipollone made the representation that Republicans were not even allowed in the depositions conducted in the House.
Bullshit.
Bullshit, exactly.
Now, I'm not going to suggest to you that Mr. Cipollone would deliberately make a false statement.
Bullshit.
I leave it to Mr. Cipollone
I will.
To make those allegations against others.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this, he's mistaken. He's mistaken.
He's full of shit, is the technical
term. Every Republican on the three investigative committees was allowed to participate in the depositions. And more than that, they got the same time we did.
Yep.
You show me another proceeding, another presidential impeachment or other that had that kind of access for the opposite party. Now, there were depositions in the Clinton impeachment. There were depositions in the Nixon impeachment. So what they would say is some secret process. Well, there were the same private depositions in these other impeachments as well. Finally, a couple last points.
Yeah. Adam Schiff speaking.
They make the argument the president was not allowed in the Judiciary Committee, chaired by my colleague, Chairman Nadler, to be present, to present evidence, to have his counsel present. That is also just plain wrong. Just plain wrong. Not going to suggest you they're being deliberately misleading here, but it is just plain wrong.
They lie.
You've also heard my friends at the other table make attacks on
friends.
Me and Chairman Nadler. You'll hear more of that.
Of course you will.
I'm not going to do them the dignity of responding to them, but I will say this. They make a very important point, although it's not the point I think they're trying to make. When you hear them attack the House managers, what you're really hearing is, we don't want to talk about the president's guilt.
Boink.
We don't want to talk about the McConnell resolution and how patently unfair it is.
You think?
We don't want to talk about how the, pardon the expression, ass backwards it is to have a trial and then ask for witnesses.
Yeah, I think.
And so we'll attack the House managers because maybe we can distract you for a moment from what's before you. Maybe if
Daddy,
we attack House managers, you'll be thinking
point.
About them instead of thinking about the guilt.
Listen
of the
and learn, Ivanka.
So you'll hear more of
Listen
that, and every
and
time you do,
okay.
Every time you hear them attacking the House managers, I want you to ask yourselves, away from what issue are they trying to distract me? What was the issue that came up just before this? What are they trying to deflect my attention from? Why don't they have a better argument to make on the merits? Finally, Mr. Sekulow asks, why are we here? Why are we here? Well, I'll tell
to
you
impeach
why
the
we're
fucking
here.
President who broke the law.
Because the president used the power of his office to coerce an ally at war.
Hello.
With an adversary at war with Russia. Used the power of his office to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars of military aid that you
Which
appropriated
is illegal.
And we appropriated to defend an ally and defend
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's our national security as well. And why? To fight corruption? That's nonsense, and you know it.
No, that is...
Bullshit.
Yeah.
He withheld that money, and he withheld even meeting with him in the Oval Office, the president of Ukraine, because he wanted to coerce Ukraine into these sham investigations of his opponent that he was terrified would beat him in the next election. That's what this is about.
Yep.
You want to say that's okay? Their brief says that's okay. The president has a right to do it. On Article 2, we heard the president, he can do whatever he wants. You want to say that's okay?
That's bullshit, too.
Then you got to say that every future president can come into office and they can do the same thing. Are we prepared to say that? Well, that's
yes,
why
the Republicans
we're
are
here.
Prepared to say that.
Unless it's a Democrat.
To represent
and then
Loughran.
They can't.
Right.
Okay.
Then
oh,
they'll
now
change it.
Zoe Lofgren is coming up. This is her third impeachment.
Oh, she's
second
good.
Impeachment, actually. She wasn't around for Andrew Johnson.
Mr. Chief Justice,
how do you know?
Senators, counsel for the
you know,
president.
She's not that old.
The House managers strongly support Senator Schumer's amendment, which would ensure a fair, legitimate trial based on a full evidentiary record. The Senate can remedy President Trump's unprecedented cover-up by taking a straightforward step. It can ask for the key evidence that the president has improperly blocked. Senator Schumer's amendment does just that. The amendment authorizes a subpoena for White House documents that are directly relevant to this case. These documents focus on the president's scheme to strong-arm Ukraine, to announce an investigation into his political opponent to interfere with the 2020 election. The The documents will reveal the extent of the White House's coordination with the president's agents, such as Ambassador Sondland and Rudy Giuliani, who pushed the president's so-called drug deal on Ukrainian officials. The documents will also show us how key players inside the White House, such as the president's acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, and his deputy, Robert Blair, helped.
You notice she's talking about the documents. These are documents that the White House has yet to turn over. They have not turned over one single document that was subpoenaed, nor has one witness that was subpoenaed that Donald Trump, you know, told not to come forward either, except for, you know, the few that bucked it, like Fiona Hill and Vindman and the handful that we saw during the House hearings.
The targets would provide more clarity and context about President Trump's scheme.
And Kurt Volker, who resigned in order to do it.
The president from hiding evidence, as he has previously tried to do. Now, the House subpoenaed these documents as part of the impeachment inquiry, but the president completely rejected this and every document subpoena from the House. As powerful as our evidence
what I just
is,
said.
And make no mistake, it overwhelmingly proves his guilt. We did not receive a single document from the executive branch agency, including the White House itself. Recent revelations from press reports, Freedom of Information Act requests, and additional witnesses such as Lev Parnas underscore how relevant these documents and therefore why the president has been so desperate to hide them and his misconduct from Congress and from the American people. A trial without all the relevant evidence is not a fair trial.
You think?
It would be wrong for you senators acting as judges to be deprived of relevant evidence of the president's offenses when you are judging these most serious charges. It would also be unfair to the American people who overwhelmingly believe the president should produce all relevant documents and evidence. Now, documentary evidence is used in all trials. For a simple reason, as the story goes, the documents don't lie. Documents give objective, real-time insight into the events under investigation. The need for such evidence is especially important in Senate impeachment trials. More than 200 years of Senate practice make clear that documents are generally the first order of business.
Yeah.
They've been presented to the Senate before witnesses take the stand in great volume to ensure the Senate has the evidence it needs to evaluate the case. Now, documentary evidence in Senate trials has never been limited to the documents sent by the House. The Senate, throughout its existence, has exercised its authority pursuant to its clear rules of procedure to subpoena documents at the outset of a trial. We don't know with certainty what the documents will say. We simply want the truth, whatever that truth may be. So do the American people. They want to know the truth, and so should everybody in this chamber, regardless of our party affiliation. There are key reasons why this amendment is necessary. We'll begin by walking through the history and precedent of Senate impeachment trials. I'll let you know about the House's efforts to get the documents, which were met by the president and his administration's categorical commitment to hide all the evidence at all costs. And we'll address the specific need for these subpoenaed White House documents. I'll tell you why these documents are needed now, not at the end of the trial, in order to ensure a full, fair trial based on a complete evidentiary record. Now, some have suggested incorrectly that the Senate is limited only to evidence gathered before the House approved its articles of impeachment. Others have suggested, also incorrectly, that it would somehow be strange for the Senate to issue subpoenas. These claims are without any historical, precedential, or legal support. Over the past 2 centuries, the Senate has always understood that its sole power under the Constitution to try all impeachments requires the Senate to sit as a court of impeachment and hold a trial. In fact, the founders assigned sole authority only twice in the Constitution. First, giving the House sole authority to impeach, and second, giving the Senate sole authority to try that impeachment. If the founders had intended for the Senate to serve as some kind of appellate body, you know, they would have said that. But no, instead they wrote this. Article 1, Section 3, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. The Senate has always received the relevant documents in impeachment trials, and indeed, the Senate's own rules of procedure and practice make clear that new evidence will be considered. Precedent shows this. All 15 full Senate impeachment trials considered new evidence. Let's look at a few examples that show the Senate takes new evidence in impeachment trials. The first ever presidential impeachment trial in 1868 against President Andrew Johnson allowed the House managers to spend the first 2 days of the trial introducing new documentary evidence. It was the same in Judge John Pickering's trial in 1804. New documents were presented to the Senate nearly a week before House managers made their opening statement and later throughout the trial. And as been mentioned earlier by Mr. Schiff, in modern times in 2010, George Porteous's impeachment trial included 7 months of pretrial discovery and 6,000 pages of documentary evidence admitted at trial. After that evidence was admitted, the Senate held its trial. President Clinton's case did not involve subpoenas for documents. Now, why was that?
Because they turned them over.
Because President Clinton had already produced a huge trove of documents.
How novel.
The Independent Counsel turned over to Congress some 90,000 pages of relevant documents gathered during the course of his years-long investigation. And I remember as a member of the Judiciary Committee going over to the Ford building, looking at the boxes of the document. But even with all those documents, the Clinton trial included the opportunity to present new evidence and the admission of additional documents and 3 witnesses. The Clinton impeachment precedent also shows how President Trump's refusal to produce any relevant documents in response to congressional subpoenas is different than past presidents, different from President Clinton, different from President Johnson, and less even than President Nixon. In short, not a single president has categorically refused to cooperate with an impeachment investigation.
If you're just tuning in, this is Zoe Lofgren speaking. She is one of the impeachment managers from the House, California, Congresswoman from California, Zoe Lofgren.
Must rely on.
She was also in Congress during the impeachment of Bill Clinton and during the almost impeachment of Richard Nixon.
The House managers, the president can all account for those documents in their presentations and deliberations. It doesn't make sense to request and receive documents after the parties present their cases. The time is now to
do that.
So why is the amendment needed to prevent President Trump from continuing his categorical commitment to hide the evidence? In this case, the House sought White House documents. Why don't we have them? It's not because we didn't try. It's because the White House refused to give them to us. The president's defense team seems to believe that the White House is permitted to completely refuse to provide any documents without regard to whether or not it is privileged. They apparently believe that Congress's authority is subject to the approval of the president. But that's not what the Constitution says. Our Constitution sets forth a democracy with a system of checks and balances to ensure that no one, and certainly not the president, is above the law. Now, even President Nixon produced more than 30 transcripts of White House recordings and notes from meetings with the president. Here, even before the House launched the investigation that led to this trial, President Trump rejected Congress's constitutional responsibility to use its lawful authority to investigate his actions. He asserted that his administration was fighting all the subpoenas, proclaiming, I have an Article 2, or I have the right to do whatever I want as president. Here is what he said.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president.
even
bullshit.
After the House formally
Daddy,
announced
you're
its
wrong.
Investigation of the president's conduct in Ukraine, the president still continued his obstruction. Beginning on September 9th, 2019, the House investigative committees made two attempts to voluntarily obtain documents from the White House. The White House refused to engage with, frankly, or even respond to the House committees. On October 4th, the House Committee on Oversight and Reform sent a subpoena to White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, this time compelling the production of documents from the White House by October 18th. On October 8th, before the White House documents were due, the White House counsel sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi stating the president's position that the President Trump and his administration cannot participate in this partisan inquiry under these circumstances. The president simply declared that he will not participate in an investigation he didn't like. 10 days later, on October 18th, the White House counsel sent a letter to the House confirming that it would continue to stonewall. The White House counsel again stated the president refused to participate. Well, the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, says that the House shall have the sole power of impeachment, just as in Article 1, Section 3, the Senate has the sole power to try. Participation in a duly authorized congressional investigation isn't optional. It's not up to the president to decide whether to participate or not. The Constitution gives the House the sole power of impeachment. It gives the Senate the sole power to try all impeachments. The president may not like being impeached, but if the president, not the Congress, decides when impeachment proceedings are appropriate, then the impeachment power is no power at all. And if you let him block from Congress and from the American people the evidence to cover up his offenses, then the impeachment power truly will be meaningless. With all the back and forth about these documents, we've heard the phrase executive privilege. The president and his lawyers keep saying it. They talk about vast legal rights to justify hiding the truth, withholding information, but that's a distraction. That's not what the Constitution provides. And the truth is, as has been mentioned by Mr. Schiff, in the course of the entire impeachment inquiry, President Trump has not once asserted executive privilege. Not a single time. It was not the reason provided by Mr. Cipollini for refusing to comply with the House's subpoena. Indeed, President Trump didn't offer legal justification for withholding the evidence. Here's the truth. Presidents, members of Congress, judges, and the Supreme Court have recognized throughout our nation's history that Congress's investigative power are at their absolute peak during impeachment proceedings. Your powers. Executive privilege cannot be a barrier to give absolute secrecy to cover up wrongdoing. If it did, the House and the Senate would see their power disappear. When President Nixon tried that argument by refusing to produce tape recordings to prosecutors and to Congress, he was soundly rebuked by the other two branches of government. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled against him. The House Judiciary Committee voted that he be impeached for obstruction of Congress. It would be remarkable for the United States Senate to declare, for the first time in our nation's history, that the president has an absolute right to decide whether his own impeachment trial is legitimate. And it would be extraordinary for the Senate to refuse to seek important documentary evidence, especially when the president has yet to assert any privilege to justify withholding documents. Now, there's another reason this amendment is important. The documents sought are directly relevant to the president's misconduct. The White House is concealing documents involving officials who have direct knowledge of key events at the heart of this trial. This isn't just a guess. We know these documents exist from the witnesses who testified in the House and from other public release of documents. And let's walk through those specific documents that the White House should send to the Senate. They include, among other documents, relating to President Trump's direct communications with President Zelensky, President Trump's request for political investigations, including communications with Rudy Giuliani, Ambassador Sondland, and others, President Trump's unlawful hold of the $391 million of military aid, concerns that White House officials reported to NSC legal counsel in real time, the president's decision to recall Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch from Ukraine. The first set of documents the Senate should get about President Trump's communication with the president of Ukraine would include the phone calls on April 21st and July 25th, as well as the September 25th, 2019 meeting with President Zelensky in New York.
We know, Uncle Rudy, they gave you a shout
out. Officials.
He's been waiting all day for that so far.
For the president, in preparation for both calls.
They said my name. They said my name.
The talking points were about American policy, as reflected by the votes of Congress, as well as the Trump administration itself. They didn't include any mention of the Bidens or the 2016 election interference or investigations that President Trump requested on the July 25th call. Here's a clip of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman explaining how the president ignored the points about American policy, reflecting the views of both the Congress and the Trump administration.
Colonel Vindman, if I could turn your attention to the April 21st call, that is the first call between President Trump and President Zelensky. Did you prepare talking points for the president to use during that call?
Yes, I did.
And did those talking points include rooting out corruption in Ukraine?
Yes.
Did he read
them? That was something the president was supposed to raise in the conversation with President Zelensky?
Those were the recommended talking points that were cleared through the NSC staff for the president, yes.
The materials provided for the July 25th call that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman mentioned are highly relevant. They could help confirm that the president's actual statements to President Zelensky were unrelated to the foreign policy objectives of his own administration and show that they served his own personal interests at the expense of
American national security interests.
Did she say
These documents also include handwritten notes and other documents that White House officials generated during the calls and meetings. We know, for example, that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Mr. Morrison, Jennifer Williams, all testified to taking contemporaneous handwritten notes during the July 25th
And we know
call.
Donald Trump doesn't like notes.
Ms.
Doesn't
Williams,
like
Lieutenant
note-taking.
Colonel Vindman
Hates
both testified that President Zelensky made an explicit reference to Burisma that was not included in the memorandum that the White House released
How
to the
interesting.
Public. Here's a clip of their testimony. Ooh.
Both of you recall President Zelensky in that conversation raising the issue or mentioning Burisma, do you not?
That's correct.
Correct.
And yet, the word Burisma appears nowhere in the call record that's been released to the public. Is that right?
That's right.
Correct.
Why do you need documents generated after the calls and meetings? They would shed light on how these events were perceived in the White House and what actions were taken moving forward. For example, National Security Advisor John Bolton wasn't on the 25th call, but he was apparently informed about the contents of the call afterward. His reaction, once he was informed, would be helpful to understanding the extent to which President Trump's action deviated from American policy and American security interests. There's another set of documents that the Senate should get, and they relate to the political investigations that President Trump and his agents repeatedly asked Ukrainian officials to announce. These documents about efforts to pressure Ukraine to announce investigations and the decision to place a hold on military aid to Ukraine, they would be very important for you to evaluate the president's conduct. For example, Ambassador Bolton is a firsthand witness to President Trump's abuse of power. He reported
Magic
directly
words.
To the president. Yep. He supervised the entire staff of the National Security Council. Public reports indicate that John Bolton is a voracious note taker in every meeting. From witness testimony, we know that Ambassador Bolton hosted the July 10th, 2019 meeting where Ambassador Sondland told Ukrainian officials that the promised White House meeting would be scheduled if they announced the investigations. We know Bolton was briefed about this meeting immediately following it when Ambassador Sondland said he had a deal with Mick Mulvaney to schedule the promised White House meeting if Ukraine announced investigations into the Bidens in the 2016 election. We also know Ambassador Bolton was involved in briefing the president on a presidential decision memorandum in August, reflecting the consensus interagency opinion.
We know that Bolton holds the key to so much of this. The problem is, he's John Bolton, and I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I don't trust him not to, you know, lie. The only redeeming thing here is that he has a book coming out, and if he says anything that contradicts what's in the book, you know, he can be charged with perjury. That is, indeed, if they can get him to testify.
And Secretary Esper all tried to convince the president to release the aid. Now, Ambassador Bolton has come forward and publicly confirmed that he was a witness to important events, but also that he has new evidence that no one has seen yet. If we know there's evidence that's not yet come out, all of us should want to hear it.
You think?
We should want to hear it now. Before Ambassador Bolton testifies, we should get documents and records relating to his testimony, including his notes, which would provide contemporaneous evidence about what was discussed in meetings related to Ukraine, which would help to evaluate his testimony. The evidence is not just restricted to Ambassador Bolton. During his public testimony, Ambassador Gordon Sondland stated, "I have not had access to all my phone records." He also said that he and his lawyers had asked repeatedly for these materials. He said the materials would help refresh his memory. We should look at that material. Ambassador Sondland also testified that he exchanged a number of emails with top officials like Mick Mulvaney about his efforts to pressure Ukraine to announce the investigations President Trump demanded. Here's his testimony.
Third, let me say, precisely because we did not think that we were engaging in improper behavior, we made every effort to ensure that the relevant decision makers at the National Security Council and the State Department knew the important details of our efforts. The suggestion that we were engaged in some irregular or rogue diplomacy is absolutely false. I have now identified certain State Department emails and messages that provide contemporaneous support for my view. These emails show that the leadership of the State Department, the National Security Council, and the White House were all informed about the Ukraine efforts from May 23, 2019 until the security aid was released on September 11th, 2019.
These emails, among others, are in the possession of...
Not done yet.
These emails referenced in this testimony are in the possession of the White House, the State Department, and even the Department of Energy, since officials from all three entities communicated together. You know, during his testimony, Ambassador Sondland described it this way. Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret. These emails are therefore important to understanding the full scope of the scheme. The request for relevant evidence is not confined to Trump administration officials. The Senate should also get White House records relating to the president's private agents who acted on his behalf in Ukraine, including Rudy Giuliani, Victoria Tensing, and Joe DiGenova. Witness testimony and documents have made clear that Mr. Giuliani, a frequent visitor to the White House who also received and made frequent calls to the White House, was acting on behalf of the president to press Ukrainian officials to announce investigations that would personally and politically benefit the president. For example, the May 10th, 2019 letter from Mr. Giuliani to President-elect Zelensky that's shown on this slide states he was acting, quote, as personal counsel to President Trump with his knowledge and consent. He requested a meeting with the president-elect and he to be joined by Ms. Tensing, who is, quote, very familiar with this matter. The evidence indicates he was collaborating with Ms. Tensing and Mr. DeGeneva in this effort. The Senate should get the White House records of meetings, of calls involving Mr. Giuliani, Ms. Tensing, or Mr. DeGeneva. These records are important to help you understand the extent to which the White House was involved in Mr. Giuliani's efforts to coerce Ukraine to announce the investigations the president wanted. The records would also show how the president's personal political agenda became more important than policies to help America's national security.
It was always the case. It was always the case. He always put himself first.
With his prior attempts to hide evidence, assert that attorney-client privilege would cover these documents. But the president's personal attorney-client privilege cannot shield evidence of misconduct in office, or that of his aides, or of his lawyer's participation in corrupt schemes. We aren't asking for documents reflecting legitimate legal advice. You need documents about their actions to pressure Ukraine to announce an investigation into President Trump's political opponent. There's a set of White House documents that relate directly to the president's unlawful decision to withhold $391 million appropriated.
Unlawful. There you go.
Yep.
Bipartisan.
Impound Act.
Yep.
To help Ukraine. Witnesses have testified that President Trump directly ordered a hold on the security assistance despite the unanimous opinion of his agencies that the aid should be released. Importantly, according to the Government Accountability Office, his action violated the law.
Ding.
On January 16, 2020, the GAO, an independent watchdog, issued a legal opinion finding that President Trump violated the law when he held up security assistance to Ukraine. The GAO said, and I quote, "Faithful execution of the law does not permit the president to substitute his own policy priorities for those that Congress enacted
ding, ding, ding,
into
ding,
law.
Ding, ding.
OMB withheld funds for a policy reason which is not permitted under the Empowerment
you
Control
ding,
Act.
I comply.
The withholding
I
was not a programmatic delay.
I'm a dingbat.
Therefore, we conclude that OMB violated the ICA. The
yes, it did.
The president's
okay, and with that, we're coming to the end of our hour. Zoe Lofgren is still speaking. She will continue for a while. This hearing, this part of the trial, the impeachment of Donald Trump, will go on all day and into the wee hours of the morning, as they say. Now that Mitch McConnell has backed off on his, they've got to fit their 24 hours of testimony in 2 days to make it 3 days, it won't be as long a day as you would have thought, as it would have been originally, but it's still going to be a long day. Obviously, this is just a slice of the proceedings, you know, for the hour that we have together. Again, as I told somebody in the chat room, I couldn't imagine being on the air and not dealing with what was happening in real time. I also couldn't imagine doing, you know, not doing a show today. So, because this is history. So this will continue. I'll keep running the hearing on my stream here at NicoleSandler.com. So you'll have the audio feed anyway on our 24/7 player. We'll play it by ear as the week goes on. Laffy, any final words?
We just did a radio show, and we're part of history. We're watching history happen.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's hope that in this instance, the rule of law wins out, that the Republicans are made to comply, that the Republicans will turn over the documents and allow subpoenaed witnesses to testify. Because without witnesses, without documents, I'm sorry, it's not a trial. It's a sham. In that one instance, Donald Trump would be right. But of course, you know, he got it wrong for obvious reasons, because he gets everything wrong. All right. Gotta laugh. I'll talk to you. We'll see you on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. I'm sure you'll be live tweeting a lot of this. And everyone else, we'll be back tomorrow to keep it going. Thanks for listening. Pay attention. This
Call
is
your
our
senators.
Future. Call your senators, especially like someone like me. I live in Florida. I've got two Republican senators. You better believe it. I'm going to be on the phone today and every day saying, witnesses, documents, let this be a fair trial, period. And good luck to us all. All right. Thanks, Laffy.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Sure. Bye-bye.
And you, I'll see you tomorrow. Again, good luck to us all.